So Belichick showed up as a pirate. Now, I saw there were two Fred Flintstones. One was definitely Vince Wilfork. The other one was a white guy. Was that you?
No. I actually didn't make it to that one. I was, nursing a little bit of an injury at the time. So I missed out on the fun and festivities. But, I do remember all the planning leading up to it. And, never would I have ever thought that that Coach would end up, as a pirate. I mean, I would have thought many other things, but a pirate, not so much.
You know what? We asked him before the documentary was shown. We asked him if he was conscious of being mic'd during the entire 2009 season. He said he wasn't. How about you? There were cameras in the meeting rooms, cameras all around you. Were you self-conscious about having all those cameras around?
No. I mean, I think there were times where we thought, it's kind of odd that there's a camera here, there's a camera there. You never really know, what these things are being used for, if it's internal, if it's, something with all access or whatever it is. But, it definitely wasn't a distraction. I mean, I think in a lot of those cases, some of that footage was, probably a handheld camera that you never even knew was there to begin with. So, it was interesting to watch all that. I mean, the last couple of weeks, kind of going back and reliving that 09 season was kind of interesting.
It must be interesting to watch how far things have gone from that 09 season to really even the 2010 season and this year, Matt, because I think there's been a sea change in team personality and maturity level, if I'm not off the mark. Can you talk about that a little?
Well, I think that was still kind of during a bit of a transition. I mean, you go through a transition every off season, every season. But obviously we've had a lot of things that have changed, with the personnel, and you look at some of those, team photos when you're walking through the facility, or, in this case, you watch this video and you see a lot of faces that are no longer on this team. And, I wouldn't say that we're, an overly, veteran team. we're pretty young in a lot of places, but, I think guys have really bought into the system and really understand, how it is that we do what we do and why we do what we do.
For guys who just have joined the program in the last year or two and had a chance to watch this, can this almost be a learning tool for them to see, wow, these are things that he saw happening, and this is why things are done this way now? It just is a learning tool in the way things weren't done exactly right and the price that was paid that year.
I wouldn't say that necessarily. I mean, I think, look, the train doesn't stop. You're either on it or you're off it. And, that video won't do much for you. Just being there, for a 24-hour period, you'll figure it out pretty quickly. Or, in some cases, you won't, and you just won't be around very long.
I was saying to these guys earlier, the Red Sox, since Terry Francona has been the manager of the Red Sox in 2004, the same year Vince Wilfork was a rookie, the Patriots have not lost to the Bills. That's a long time and an incredible streak. How do you make sense of such a dominant streak against a divisional opponent?
I really don't. I mean, I don't approach it any different. I mean, a streak doesn't mean anything until, it's broken, right? I mean, a streak to a player, a guy that's actually in it, it doesn't mean anything. I mean, we have to go out there and prove it each and every week. And, look, we've seen it happen in years past. You go out, you play an opponent that everybody thinks you should have beat, or, just because you beat them in a year or two previous, they think that you're going to go in and have an automatic win. I mean, we all know it doesn't happen. So, I think from a player's perspective, a streak doesn't mean a whole lot.
Everybody talks about the offense, the Buffalo offense, through the first couple of weeks. Why not? They've scored an awful lot of points. But what do you face defensively? You got Marcell Dareus there, the rookie, Kyle Williams, pretty good player, Edwards. What do you guys see with them?
I think, look, they got high motors, and they're playing within their system really well. And I think that, definitely with, this rookie, Marcellus, you look at him and you watch his style, and it's really good for a young guy. I mean, the guy's got a great motor, like I said. He's got multiple moves, and, you couple that with, his counterpart there, and Kyle Williams, and those guys, I mean, they really get up the field. They play well within that system. And, they're definitely a handful inside. And, they've obviously got guys on the outside that can rush the passer. And, Kelsey's been there for a long time. And, you know, they had the addition of Merriman and obviously, you know, Edwards has been in that system. And, you know, and they, I think they've had an upgrade at linebacker,
Nick
Davis.
Barnett. Barnett's in there now.
And you know, these guys, they're playing really well. And I think that they've got a lot of confidence, rightfully so. And, you know, I think for us, it's going to come down to how consistent, you know, can we go out there and execute what we do on the road in a place that, you know, look, regardless of what their situation has been win-loss-wise in the last, you know, few years, you go up to Buffalo, it's a tough place to play. I mean, those people really just don't like other teams. You know that from the minute you go in. We'll probably have, you know, two or three beer bottles thrown at our butts on the way in.
We're here. You can handle that. Come on.
Hey, Matt,
No big deal, but I'm just saying that that's the attitude. I mean, it's a tough place to play. It's a loud stadium. When they're on fire, they're loud. It's a, you know, it makes things, you know, that much more amped up.
How do you know when they're on fire? They've never been on fire since you've been playing them. But I wanted to ask you this:
you're actually 31-0 is a bit of a fire.
That was a little bit of All right.
Yeah, that wasn't a fun one.
And that was one, Matt, that started rolling downhill right out of the chutes. How important will it be on Sunday to match the intensity of a young team that's 2-0 that's playing one of the elite teams in the NFL? I assume that you must expect that they're going to be through the roof in the first quarter.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be huge. I mean, we always talk about it, but, you know, look, it all, you know, it starts off with our special teams and, you know, whether it's kickoff or kickoff return to start this whole thing on, we have to have a lot of energy, you know, on that opening play. And we have to be able to carry that all the way through. And I think that, you know, at the end of the day, you know, like I said, it's going to come down to the detail things. It always does. You know, it's going to come down to, you know, how well we can execute in the red area, you know, how well we can, you know, go out there and sustain these first and second down plays that keep us out of, you know, third and long and all the things that create problems for you offensively and really stay in that rhythm. I mean, that's going to be key.
Anybody get shot in the ass the other day at the shootout?
that's a very difficult question to answer.
Who was a little shaky? Who was a little shaky with a gun?
A little shaky. You know what? We have guys that just didn't shoot well. Now, I'll tell you, Gronkowski didn't shoot well until he decided to shoot from the hip, literally. And at that point, he broke every target he shot at, which defies, you know, any sense. But
he's unique.
You know, Logan Mankins did win. He was our high overall celebrity. Only missed 6 targets out of 50, which is, you know, I call that dangerous.
Yeah, I would think he would be the guy.
I was going to say, that's not a surprise to me at all.
You know, if you were to say to me, which guy has, like, elk and elephant heads on the side of his walls in his house, I would think Logan Mankins. Yeah.
Well, you know, I saw a picture of him when he was 3 and he was holding a 12 gauge. I'm not sure.
He was robbing a convenience store. That's what he was doing.
And that's a guy who really doesn't even need a gun to convince people of anything.
Right, exactly. Well, it's great. I heard it was a terrific event, and I heard you raised a lot of money, and that was great once again.
Yeah, we appreciated you guys supporting and helping us promote the thing, and it went over great, man. We ended up with a great fireworks show and the whole nine. So, you know, hats off to everybody that worked on that. It was a Herculean effort to pull that thing off once again.
Hey, Butchie Stearns make a donation this year. Did he buy anything?
No, he was actually, I think, picked up on some kind of, you know, bad check writing from last year's event.
I did read about him. I read about him in the paper. That was him, huh? He used one of those assumed names again.
Hey, listen, without that year wouldn't have been what it was. I mean, that literally was a highlight for me. And, God love him. I mean, he came through. He stepped up big. He set the tone.
Gave us weeks of material. Hey, listen, have a great weekend up there in Buffalo. We'll catch you next week.
All right, appreciate it, guys.
See you later.
Okay, Matt.
That's Matt Light.